Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy, GD. In this episode, the finals recap. It's all done, guys. Season is officially over, so we'll go through all the games. And, of course, you know, I'll give my breakdowns as we go. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And, guys, we are all completed as far as the NBA Finals. So, everything is in the books. So, without any further delay, let's get right into it. As you know, the number one seed, Oklahoma City Thunder, faced the number four seed in the East, the Indiana Pacers. And it turned out to be a pretty interesting series, guys. So in that case, let's get into it. Game one in OKC. So you had a sea of blue shirts out there, you know, all the fans and all the things. But in that game one, Indiana, mind you, they were down at half to OKC, 57-45. But in that fourth quarter, they stormed back. To me, OKC was kind of playing around with them, you know, kind of like a cat playing with a mouse, if you will. And to me, you got to put a team away. They didn't do it. And Indiana steals game one, 111-110. And the field, well, let's talk about the players. Pascal Siakam led them with 19 points and 10 rebounds. Tyrese Haliburton, he hits the game-winning basket, by the way, that put Indiana up over the Oklahoma City Thunder. He had 14 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists in that game. So, and also for Indiana, they had 6 players to score 10 points or more. And, you know, they've been doing that throughout these playoffs, man. The balance that they have is just crazy. And leading the way for OKC, of course, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 38 points, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, but he didn't get much help, and there lies your problem. So that's your ball game there. As far as field goal percentage, I like to look at those things. Indiana shot it better than them, 47.6%. In fact, they... both teams hit the same amount of field goals, 39. Only problem is OKC, it took them 16 more tries to make that. 82 attempts is what Indiana had next to 98 for OKC, putting them under 40% from the field. You can't do that and expect to win. Although, you know, it was close. Turnovers, Indiana had 24 turnovers to OKC's 6. Wow. And still ended up winning that game. And the bench. I always look at the bench, guys, especially in this series. Indiana gets the advantage there, 39-28. So Indiana takes game one. Let's move to game two. Also in OKC, Thunder know you can't go down 0-2 in a finals and expect to win the whole thing. So they even things up, guys, winning 123-107. A game that they controlled pretty much from beginning to end. At halftime, they were up by 18, 59-41. The story for them, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, of course, 34 points. 8 assists, 5 rebounds, and 4 steals. Jalen Williams for them, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. And on the losing side, Tyrese Haliburton with 17 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Miles Turner with 16 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. And in this game, they had 7 guys to score 10 or more points. So, again, the depth, that speaks to the depth that Indiana has. But, actually, in this game, the OKC bench outscores the Pacer bench 48-34, with Caruso dropping 20 coming off the bench. Aaron Wiggins, 18 for him. In this game, OKC better from the field, 48.8%, so you might as well say 49, and then a little above 45% for Indiana. So the series is tied, guys, heading to Indiana. So game three goes to the Indiana Pacers, guys. 116-107. Mind you, by about the third quarter, OKC was winning this one 89-84. So that fourth quarter, again, Indiana's a team that, you know, you can't take them for granted. You got to put them away when you can. So, but Indiana on their home floor takes game three. And in that game, off the bench, Ben Mathurin, who's been very good for them coming off the bench, 27 points, 4 rebounds. Tyrese Haliburton with a near triple-double, guys, 22 points, 11 assists, 9 rebounds. And then throw in 2 steals. Pascal Siakam, 21 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals for him. And then on the losing side, Jay Will starts to come to life, guys. Jalen Williams, 26 points with 6 rebounds. And SGA, 24 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks for him. And in this game, again, I look to the bench. Indiana's bench, 49 points to just 18 points from OKC's bench. Not what you want to see, guys. And as far as field goal percentage, Indiana with a blistering 51.8%, so close to 52%. And then OKC just a little shy of 47%, 46.8%. Turnovers in this game, I was looking at that, guys. OKC had had more turnovers, 17-13. And in terms of points off turnovers, Indiana had the advantage 21-14. So you factor that in into the final score, and there you have it. So now Indiana halfway there as far as getting the 4 wins necessary to win it all. So let us move to game 4. Game 4, and of course, again, OKC with their backs against the wall, guys, down 2-1. And what do? They go into Indiana, and they steal one. And Indiana winning that game 111-104. To me, guys, it's all about the fourth quarter. This time, the Thunder took advantage. Indiana was leading by the third quarter, 87-80. But OKC, actually in the final 4.23 minutes of the game, SGA goes absolutely berserk. He scores 15 points within that frame, ending the game with 35 points, 3 rebounds, 3 steals. Jalen Williams supporting him with 27 points and 7 rebounds. On the losing side, Pascal Siakam, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 steals in that game. Wow. Tyrese Haliburton, 18 points and 7 assists. Now, in this one, in terms of the benches, Indiana did have the advantage in this one, despite the loss, 36 to 27. But field goal percentage, guys, OKC, 47.4% from the field, and Indiana with 42.5%. Three-point range, the numbers aren't pretty here, guys. Only 3 for 16 for OKC. They're not a good three-point shooting team to begin with, so there's that. And Indiana, 11 for 36, so both teams not shooting it great from there. Turnovers, Indiana had more, 15 to 13 in that game. So we have it now tied up, guys. Tied up at 4-4, heading back to OKC. Game 5, back on OKC's floor. And you know what, guys? They said, let us not dilly-dally here. They get the win, 120 to 109. At the half, again, commanding lead, 59 to 45. The Thunder over the Pacers there. And in this game, Jalen Williams absolutely comes to life, guys. 40 points, guys. This is actually the high for any player in these playoffs here. So Jalen Williams is the one who drops a 40 piece, along with 6 rebounds, 4 assists. SGA, a nice and tidy 31 points, 10 assists, guys, 4 blocks, 2 steals. So doing all the little things, your league MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, getting it done. And then for the Pacers, Pascal Siakam, 28 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks for him. And Tyrese Haliburton has a nightmare game, guys. 4 points, guys. He goes scoreless from the field, 0 of 6, guys. And then he goes 0 for 4 from 3. He did have 7 rebounds. He did have 6 assists. And then it was revealed later that he's dealing with a leg injury. Bear that in mind as we go on, but by the way, guys, that he suffered in the first quarter, but he played through it. But it's quite obvious it was bothering him tremendously. And then also TJ McConnell, he had 18 points and 4 assists, 4 rebounds coming off the bench. By the way, again, Indiana bench outscores OKC for the third time in these 4 games, 43 to 27. Field goal percentage, actually, Indiana had the better field goal percentage at 45%. And OKC, 42.6%. But the big story here, turnovers. Indiana had 22 guys to OKC's 11. Points off turnover. This is the big number here, guys. OKC, 32 to 9. Wow. So that's how you destroy a team and get that crucial Game 5 win, guys. Now, one win away is OKC. Heading back to Indiana, not the best of places to go to try and clinch a NBA championship. But nonetheless, they go. And coming into Game 6, Tyrese Haliburton listed as questionable, guys. So his leg injury is really getting at him. But nonetheless, they go back to their cozy confines in Indiana, and they get that win, guys. 108 88-91. And to me, guys, this game was won in the second and third quarter, where Indiana outscores OKC 62-35. Wow. That's where it's won, guys, right? Those two quarters, to be honest with you. So they get the win. Obi Toppin off the bench, 20 points, 6 rebounds. Andrew Nembhard, 17 points, 4 assists, 3 steals. Tyrese Haliburton, in limited play, he only played 22 minutes, guys. 14 points and 5 assists. So it was more of him being the catalyst, if you will, setting up guys and pretty much setting the table for that huge win. And then in the loss, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, just 21 points, 4 rebounds for him. Jay Will comes back down to earth, 16 points for him. And in game 6, again, Indiana's bench, guys, outscoring them 49-37. So in 5 of the 6 games, Indiana bench shows up. Field goal percentage is not pretty numbers, guys. OKC just under 42%, and Indiana just above 41%. So not pretty at all, guys. Turnovers, OKC with 21 to Indiana's 10. Points off turnovers, small margin. I don't think it had too much to do with the final outcome. Indiana with the advantage, 19-13. So this sets the stage for game 7, guys. And you know we love to see a game 7 in the NBA playoffs, especially in the finals, guys. Game 7. It was touch and go, to be honest with you guys. In fact, at the half, Indiana had the lead in this one, 48-47. But guys, Tyrese Haliburton goes down and tears his ACL in the first quarter, guys. He played 7 minutes, scoring 9 points, but he tears that ACL and he's out for the rest of the game. But they played spirited going into the half, like I said, being up by 1 on the road in OKC. But it was the third quarter that things got away from them, guys. You could play with momentum and adrenaline for but so long before true talent kicks in. OKC wins the third quarter, 34-20, thus setting the stage for them to get the win in game 7, 103-91, guys. SGA finishes with a immaculate 29 points, 12 assists against only 1 turnover, guys. And he got that late in the fourth quarter, by the way. He was played 3 quarters without a turnover. Wow. 5 rebounds, 2 blocks for him. Jalen Williams, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. Chet Holmgren with a nice game, 18 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 block shots, guys. Guys, the 5 blocks are the most blocks in a game 7 in NBA history. Wow. So Chet Holmgren makes history here. On the losing side, Ben Mafferin off the bench, 24 points, 13 rebounds. Pascal Siakam, 16 points and 4 rebounds for him. And the bench, once again, guys. Indiana bench outscores OKC's 42-20. So at all but 1 game, guys, OKC's bench was outscored by Indiana. But your field goal percentage, guys, 35-87 for OKC, and Indiana 29-70. So not pretty numbers, but it gets the job done. Turnovers, huge in this game seven. Indiana 21, OKC just 7. And points off turnovers, OKC with the clear advantage, 32-9, guys. So in their last two home games in this series, points off turnovers, 64-19. That's going to give you an advantage each and every time, guys. So with that said, series over. OKC wins their first title in the city of Oklahoma City, guys. And they've been there for 17 years. So it's the first in OKC, but the second in franchise history. Because remember, they moved from Seattle to OKC, guys. And they got the chip in Seattle back in 1979, back when they had the backcourt of Gus Williams and Dennis Johnson. Oh, by the way, Dennis Johnson in that series was the MVP in the final game. Well, averaging in that series 22.5 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds, and 2 blocks. That's how well Dennis Johnson played for these Seattle Supersonics. So with that said, that sets the stage for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. 7 years in the league, guys. That seems like that's kind of the magic number as far as seasons before you get a NBA title. So Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he wins a title. And this is what he did as far as the series, guys. He averaged 30 points, guys, over 5.5 assists per game, over 4.5 rebounds per game, nearly 2 steals, and 1.5 blocks for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Thus setting the stage for him winning Finals MVP, guys. So think about it, guys. He leads the league in scoring. He wins league MVP. He wins Western Conference MVP for the playoff run, and then Finals MVP. What a season for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So that's what he averaged in the series, guys. And thus getting MVP honors. Jalen Williams. You know, a lot of people were touting him, including Scottie Pippen, saying how well he played in these playoffs. In his third season, he gets a chip, guys. This is what he averaged in the series. 23.6 points per game, 5 rebounds, and well over 3.5 assists for Jalen Williams. Very good numbers, guys. And then on the losing side, since we're going there, 7 guys averaged over 10 points per game. 7 guys. And then there was a 9th guy who was at 9.4 points per game. So you're talking about almost 8 guys averaging over double figures. That just talks to a sensational job Rick Carlisle did. Pascal Siakam, 19.3 points per game he averaged, 7.7 rebounds, 3.7 assists, and over a steal and a half. Tyrese Haliburton, 14 points, nearly 6 assists, and over 4.5 rebounds. Yeah. And thus, unfortunately for him, tearing that ACL, it looks like you won't see him for the 2025-26 season. Tough break for the kid. So, you know, prayers up for him and all those things. Let us go back to OKC. Chet Holmgren. Think about this, guys. This is his second season in the league. And he played just 32 games, guys. Just 32 games. And thus, again, he sets a record for blocks in a game seven. So Chet Holmgren just scratching the surface of what he can be. Alex Caruso, guys, gets his second chip, guys. This one with OKC, and then he got one with LeBron's Laker team in 2020, the bubble championship, if you will. So he gets his second one, guys. Isaiah Hartenstein, former Knick. Sad to see him go, guys, but I'm happy for him. The fact that he was able to get a chip over there with OKC, so big ups to him. Oh, by the way, I'm wearing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander here. Him holding all his MVP trophies and the NBA championship as well. So there you have that. But Isaiah Hartenstein gets a chip, guys. It wasn't like he was a passenger, guys. He was a full contributor in getting this championship. Sam Presti, he can now get the monkey off his back, if you will. A lot of guys, especially guys like Stephen A. Smith, say, where's his championship at? You know, he's had this bevy of players. Guys, he's had four MVPs, four players who ended up being MVPs. Your four players, SGA, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and although he gets it with another team, James Harden, but yet he was drafted by Sam Presti. Sam Presti, a longtime assistant with the San Antonio Spurs. He learned at the knee of R.C. Buford, one of the great executives in the NBA history, guys. So Sam Presti spent 7 years there, winning three championships with that ball club over there. So he's seen it. He's been through it. And he gets credit for being the guy who recommended that the San Antonio Spurs draft Tony Parker. And what a move that was, guys, back in 2001. He gets Executive of the Year for this year, guys. And judging by the end result, it's well-deserved. So Sam Presti, hats off to you for getting it done. And then let us not forget Mark Daigneault, the coach over there. Last year winning Coach of the Year. You could have made a case for him this year getting 68 wins, but you know how that goes. But he gets it done over there, guys. And guys, whatever he's teaching, whatever he's pushing, the guys buy in. That's the most important thing that a coach can get out of his players, that his guys buy into the program. And once you get guys buying into your program, sky's the limit. So, and such a young coach, Daigneault is. So, I think this is the last we hear from OKC, guys. I think they're built to last. They're very young. One of the youngest teams to ever win an NBA championship. So, I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon. We'll see. So, with that said, guys, let us talk about the future for both teams. What's next for the Indiana Pacers? We'll start with them. Of course, Haliburton out for the season. I talked about that. So a guy like TJ McConnell is going to have to man the point guard position in Haliburton's absence. How will he do? We'll see what happens. But I imagine in the offseason, they'll add another probably backup point guard to someone to spell McConnell. So who could that be? We'll see. But right now, This is TJ McConnell's team to run now. So we'll see what happens there. They're free agents right now in salary cap. They're at, for next year, they'll be at $65.6 million. They still have to re-sign guys like Miles Turner. He made nearly $20 million last year. Isaiah Jackson, who you didn't see much of, at $6.4 million. He has a qualifying offer. And Thomas Bryant, who came in and spelled for Miles Turner at the center position, he's at $2.8 million. So I say they kind of have to re-sign Miles Turner. You don't want him to get out on the market and drive his price up. Because if you lose a Miles Turner, where do you go? So I think that's a priority for them. And then for OKC, their salary cap will be at $173.5 million. Right now, in terms of free agents, they have none. So everybody's going to come back, guys. Right now, you probably have to think about an extension for Jalen Williams. Right now, next year, he'll get $6.5 million, and then he has a qualifying offer of $9 million the following season. But you don't want to dilly-dally with that. He was your Robin, if you will, to SGA's Batman. So you want to lock down a guy like that. He's still young, guys, so you definitely want to lock him in. You don't want to take any chances, guys. And you know the rapport that SGA has with him. He has high respect for Jalen Williams and what he brings. So I think you got to keep that three-headed monster of SGA, Jalen Williams, and Chet Holmgren. I'd be interested to see what Chet Holmgren does in the full season, guys. I think he's just scratching the surface. So exciting times for OKC, you know. To the victor goes the spoils, you know, like I always say, guys. So they got the chip fair and square. And that's how you do it, guys. So, but that's it. That's it, guys. So we're done here. Guys, I got a few packed episodes ahead. NBA free agency, I'm going to talk about that. But it's a lot of trades that's happened. So we'll talk about that as well. We'll talk about guys opting in and all those things. I want to get to WNBA action. The draft, I don't know if I'm going to go too deep into the draft. There are some interesting developments around the draft. Maybe I'll talk about it a little bit, but it is what it is. So, but exciting times ahead, guys. You got the Commissioner's Cup coming up very soon, so probably I'll do a breakdown of the Commissioner's Cup along with what's been going on in the WNBA. So a lot of basketball stuff taking place. I got to get it done because I got another vacation on the horizon, guys. So I'll be pushing out these episodes so you'll get the content as it comes. So, all right, guys, thank you for listening. As always, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you find all my episodes, my clips. Guys, support this show. I always have to scroll there. My donate button is on my website. There you have PayPal. There you have Buy Me a Coffee. There you have Spotify donate. Also, my Cash App is always in the scroll. $GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude. Your dollars goes a great distance to what you see on this show, the content and all the good stuff. So with that said, guys, socials, Instagram, TikTok, some Blue Sky, some Facebook, and that's it. Thank you for listening. As always, we'll talk soon, guys. Take